You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
As we begin, I'm wondering this morning, a little brainstorming. This is share time for you to just say what pops in your head. But what is it that makes you feel secure in the world? What is it that makes you feel safe and secure? Just whatever pops in your head. That's a good Sunday school answer, Mickey. No, I'm just kidding. Knowing you're a Christian, absolutely. I agree with you. Family, okay. What else? Home, yeah, absolutely. Knowing there's a safe place there. What else? When your car starts. Yes. Every morning it's like, Lord, please, Jesus. Okay, we're good. Yeah. Insurance. Yes. All right. Safe and secure, because we know if something happens, God, insurance can cover it. All right. What else? Security system. No, sure. Absolutely. Dog. Yeah. Probably in more than one way, right? She'll let you know if somebody's coming, but also just companionship. Sure. Having money in the bank. Yeah.
What's that?
Retirement. Having some retirement. Good friends. Yeah. Yeah. People you can depend on that you know are going to be there for you. Yeah. These are all good things. These are along the lines of things I was thinking of. I don't know if you grew up. If you enjoyed the Peanuts cartoons growing up, I did. You know, Charles Schulz and Peanuts. And what did Linus always have with him? Always had his security blanket, his tugging it behind him, and he just kind of hold on to it. You know, that's one of the things I was thinking about this morning as I was kind of thinking about our passage for today. About what are our grown-up security blankets? What are our adult security blankets? And some of those things that you mentioned. I mean, you know. Insurance, retirement account, money in the bank, a roof over our head that we're just like, whew, I've got a safe place to be. And I own the deed, maybe, not us yet, but some of you, maybe you're like, we own it, so nobody's going to come take it away from us, you know. But food in the pantry, right, makes you feel secure when you're like, oh, look, if the zombie apocalypse comes, I'll be okay for a little while, you know. Gas in the car. What about job security? Nobody said that. I know sometimes that's a little less secure in today's society. But when we have a good job that we know that, you know, makes life a little less stressful, knowing got a job, got income, relationships, inner peace. Yeah. One of the things I was talking to Michelle about this week, this idea of what makes her secure, and she said, knowing what's coming. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah. She's like, it's uncertainty that makes me really, you know, panicky when I don't know what the future is going to be. She's like, even if it's bad, if I know something bad's coming, I can kind of prepare myself for it. But it's when you don't even know. And it just kind of, that's paralyzing at times. But protection, locks on the doors and windows and, you know, protection of our country and maybe even military, who knows. Some people, what makes them feel secure is what they perceive to be the possession of the truth, that I have the truth, that this is right. And that helps me feel safe and secure, that I know that this is right, and I have that. I want us to keep all of those in mind today as we read our scripture passage. So if you will, turn with me, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus probably his most known, well-known teaching. And compact, you know, set of teachings together. And so today we come to this passage in Matthew 6. It's printed inside your bulletin there. Is there anybody that would be willing to read that for us this morning? All right, thank you.
Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and
your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. It's a familiar passage. We've heard it before. And often, when we hear that passage, we immediately think of money, for good reason, because Jesus kind of closes that section talking about serving God and money. And we often think, like the video of, you know, the piles and piles of money and saying, you know, Scrooge McDuck was obviously, he was worshiping something and worshiping his stack and pile of gold and swimming and bathing in it daily. We often think of, when we hear this passage, we think of kind of our society, American consumerism, you know, this drive to buy more and more and more, and I've got to accumulate more stuff, and I've got to accumulate bigger stuff and better stuff and faster stuff, and this kind of incessant striving for the newest and the greatest. That's probably what comes to mind. We think of greed that's all around us. We think of the way that people constantly in our society, in our world, bow down at the altar of money. Some because they have a lot of it and they want to protect it. Some because they don't have any of it and they want it, but they're still bowing down at the same altar. We think of huge houses, bloated investment portfolios. We think of corporations who don't mind stomping on the little people. Just as long as it increases the bottom line. We think about government officials who seem to make policy decisions based on special interest groups rather than the average citizen that they're affecting. All of this is tied in there. We think of marketing campaigns. You flip on the TV, you watch a commercial, you look at ads. The ads tell you you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you're not safe enough, you're not successful enough, but if you buy our product, you will be. However, it's not always that sinister. One commentator put it this way: there's perfectly justifiable reasons why we feel the need to store up treasures on earth. Reasons that have nothing to do with greed or materialism. We want to plan for the future. We want to save for retirement. We have to put kids through college. We are told to stash something away in case of some unforeseen crisis down the road. Those aren't bad, right? They're not so bad. And now, while I think that that is definitely part of this passage, Jesus is clearly talking about money, I think that it's more than that. Money is the symptom, but something else is the disease altogether. Because treasures aren't just about money. Treasures are things that we place value in. Maybe it is money, maybe not. It doesn't matter. Sometimes the things that we treasure, those things that are that we hold closest, aren't really worth anything. But they're treasures to us because of relational attachments, sentimental value, where they came from. And these treasures, these things that we hold on to, that we love and we care about. And maybe what Jesus is getting at is he says, this is the symptom, but look deeper at the disease here. It's about priorities. It's about, what do we give our attention to? Where do we place our focus in life? These temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow, is that what we're focused on? Are we focused on something that will last? Are we focused on things that shift and change with the circumstances of life, or on something that's solid regardless of the circumstances? And maybe it's more than priorities even. It's really about an issue of trust. What do we really trust to get us through the day? Do we trust our own intellect, our own problem-solving abilities, our own strength and ability to protect our families, our own investments, our hard work, our citizenship, our allegiances? I think that's what Jesus is really trying to get at. What are you committed to? What are you bowing down at? Are we trusting in things that will last, in things that have eternal significance, or are we trusting in things that ultimately have a pretty short shelf life? Of course, the answer is in eternal things, in God, in our Heavenly Father. Of course, that's what we want to say. But too often, if we really take a long look in the mirror, if we look at our actions, they will betray our true trust. Too often, we may say one thing and do another. Too often, we play it safe rather than risking anything too big. What do I mean by this? This week, I had a conversation with someone who said that they felt caught, trapped in a job that they didn't really love because it was safe, because they made good money and their family depended on that. But they didn't really like the work they were doing. In fact, they said that there's a number of passions and gifts that they're having to push to the side and basically ignore because they were afraid of making ends meet or not making ends meet, as the case may be. Where are we placing our trust? In the aftermath of the shooting at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, I read an online post from a friend of mine who is an ordained pastor that suggested that we need to really think about having armed guards at our worship services. And some commentator in this thread of posts said, well, if those people, if they had been carrying their own guns, they could have killed Dylann Roof, and then it would have stopped all of this. Well, what kind of testimony would that have been had it happened that way? Instead of families who were hurt and broken and grieving saying, we're offering forgiveness to this young man who's broken and hurt himself, who's broken and damaged and needing the love of Christ. Instead of being offering that forgiveness, the flip side might have been, well, don't mess with us, because if I get my gun out before you get yours out, you're done. What would Jesus do? Where are we placing our trust? Have we forgotten the Jesus way altogether? Others, they would say, you know, we've had a lot of shifts in our society, some interesting things going on politically over the last few weeks. And some of us, we've celebrated. It's like, yes, the things that we're passionate about, some things have lined up with that. And others of us have said, ooh, our nation's going crazy places, and I'm not comfortable with that, and I think it's down the wrong path. And we've not all been in agreement on that. But the question is, where do we place our trust? My point is this. It would be easy to place our trust in things that are only temporary. It would be easy to place our trust in earthly things. It would be easier to just play it safe, to not rock the boat, to not do anything risky, to not push one another's buttons, to not step out in faith, to not stand for anything, to not give and live generously, to not speak up about our faith. That would be easier. I don't think that's what Jesus is calling us to. And as I was preparing for today, I remembered this illustration that I saw some years back from a pastor out in California. And it's always stuck with me. It just seared in my mind. And so I looked online, and sure enough, I was able to find a clip. And so the quality's not great. I apologize. But I think you'll get the gist of what he's talking about. But this idea of what are we trusting in? And are we being... are we living safe? Or are we living daring for the kingdom? So I want you to watch this short video clip. You might have to skip ahead to it, Daniel. Let's get this out of the way so you can see. Hit it one more time. Okay, here we go.
Off the team, whatever, you know, just there's so much instability, so much that we don't understand, that we don't know. For me, growing up, it was, a lot of you guys know, my mom died giving birth to me, and my dad remarried, then my stepmom died in a car accident when I was 9, then my dad got married again, then my dad died of cancer when I was 12, and so I'm in junior high, my mom's dead, my stepmom's dead, my dad's dead. The only close relatives I had were my aunt and uncle, George and Sandra. And then when I was in high school, they got in a fight, and my uncle George shot and killed my aunt, and then stuck the gun to his own head, killed himself. So I'm 16 years old, and this is life to me, going, man, what's next? Everything seems to be falling apart, and we get a little worried. We get a little scared. And this is what Christians do. You know, they try to serve God, but then things get a little rocky, and things get a little unstable. And so we go, okay, that was nuts. I don't want to live like that. Let me hold on. And this is your routine. This is what so many people do. They go, you know what? I'm not going to try anything crazy. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to hold on. And this is what you look like. You just go, this is what people do. You know what? I'm just going to have my nice little family. We're just going to, we're just going to keep to ourselves. We're going to live in a gated community. I'm going to homeschool my kids, make them wear helmets everywhere. I'm going to, I'm not going to let them outside because sun has bad rays. I'm going to, just on and on and on. And you just live your life in the safety of, I don't want to do anything crazy for God. I just want to, go to church on Sundays and maybe give like 2%, maybe serve, help the nursery because I feel guilty. And then you do this your whole life, and then you go, your greatest prayer is like, God, you know what? I would love to die in my sleep and not even feel it, and then just go up to heaven. And so you want to die like this, just in your sleep, ooh, right in the middle of a dream, good dream, the dream you're going to heaven and you don't even feel it. And then suddenly you wake up. You stand before the judge and you go. Now, could you imagine watching the Olympics, and some girl does that, just gets up there, starts straddling the thing, and then steps off and goes, what is the judge supposed to do on the card? You see, and to me, I go, man, that's the routine that so many Christians are headed for. That's the routine, the boring, I do nothing crazy because I don't want to fall. That's the routine that they're going to live, and then one day it's going to be a shock because they're going to step off that balance beam and realize they're standing before the judge. They're standing before the judge, and you think he's going to look at that routine and go, wow, well done. Well done. You lived the safest life possible. You didn't slip. You didn't fall. See, that's not the life that God's called us to. That's where the majority will head, but I don't want to go where the majority goes.
Wonder about this idea of where do we place our trust. If we're placing it in ourselves, if we're storing up treasures on earth, and we're depending on my ability, I'm depending on my understanding and my strength, and oftentimes it's that safe, when we start, sometimes when we've talked about as a church, what does God want to do here? And we say, well, How do we even discern that? Well, let's look at what resources we have and then figure out what we can do with the resources that we have. And there's these small visions, not recognizing, no, we serve a God who has everything. We look at our lives, we say, well, I can only do this because I've only been given. No, we serve a God who owns it all. A God who calls us to something different, to something daring. To live this life with abandon, to trust in Him to store up treasures in heaven. I wonder this morning, what would it look like for you to take the easy way out? The way Francis Chan was talking about there, the kind of gripped on, what would that look like? Might it look like staying in the same dead-end job because you're too comfortable or too afraid to step out and really do what God has created you to do? Would it possibly mean to give God and give to God out of the leftovers? Financially, with your time, with your talent, rather than giving sacrificially? Would it mean possibly never trying something that you're really passionate about? Never starting that ministry that your heart just yearns for And never taking any chances because you're afraid, well, I might mess it up and it might fail. Yep, it might. Playing it safe, would it possibly look like, you know what, I'm never going to really engage in dialogue with somebody who thinks different than me because I might not be able to defend my position, or worse, I might be proven wrong. So I'll just play it safe and stay silent. Or to constantly depend on others to feed you and take care of you spiritually. Rather than saying, I'm going to live dangerously. I'm going to step out. God, I trust you. I want to experience you, not what somebody else told me about you. The bottom line, I think, for me and for us is this. In what are we trusting? Is it the things of this world? Treasures on earth? Possessions? Our knowledge? Our understanding? Our reasoning? Our strength? Or is it in something greater than ourselves? In God's wisdom, God's provision, God's strength? And are we willing to risk something big with our lives, knowing that we serve a God who holds all of us in the palm of his hand? A God who is so much bigger than anything we could risk and so much better than anything we could ever dream. Are we willing to live daring lives, or are we content to cling to the balance beam and just make it to the end and not rock the boat in the process? There's an old saying that you may have heard. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were built for. A ship in the harbor is safe. That's not what ships were built for. I wanted to close this morning with a prayer that's attributed to Sir Francis Drake. He was basically a legal pirate, and so I'm a little skeptical that this was actually his prayer. I think it just got attributed to him, but who knows? Maybe he was a deep man of faith. God knows. But let me offer this as our closing. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possessed, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to draw dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hope and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.